monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Bafangolo. History is made. And now, the event.
Well, welcome to the event. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm joined by David Scorpio and Giuseppe Vaffangulo of the Wisdom Circle. We're very pleased today to have as our featured guest a man known as a freedom fighter for his efforts to oppose EMF and expose the role of 5G. His name, Jerry Rice. He recently presented at G. Edward Griffin's Red Pill Expo. Truly has a wonderful reputation, and I'm very pleased to invite Giuseppe and Scorpio to take the lead with our special guest today, Giuseppe.
Oh, there were a lot of presentations. So, you know, certainly a lot of people talk about the COVID. Other were more political, more financial. It went across the board, and it was a terrific meeting. There were about 800 people there, and I did a presentation on notices and contracts, and started talking about that. I did want to mention on the websites, I don't usually send people to my jerryday.com website. Freedomtaker.com is where a lot of the action is, and if you're electromagnetic sensitive, emfhelpcenter.com. The Red Pill Expo in Rapid City, South Dakota, June 5th and 6th. Terrific experience, and I enjoyed seeing that part of the country. I hadn't been to South Dakota before. I have South Dakota plates on my car for various reasons. And so it was nice to see the state where Kristi Noem is governor and has said so many great things indicating her understanding of the limits of government authority. And I thought we had a great time. I'm from California, and we enjoy going anywhere where people are not sort of psycho about the masks and all the kind of lockdown mentality. And, you know, they were open and everybody's doing business in Rapid City, and everybody had a good time and nobody got sick. So we enjoyed ourselves.
Yes. No doubt well aware, Wuhan was not only the apparent source of the outbreak of the alleged coronavirus, about which many of us are profoundly skeptical, but also the first 5G city in the world. And it appears there may have been a vast number of deaths from 5G. A professor at a university in Washington, the state, has observed that releasing 5G on the world without conducting studies about its impact on human beings and other living things is really, I think, a crime against humanity. I am told symptoms of the effects of 5G are very similar to those attributed to the coronavirus. Do you believe the one could be a cover for the other? What do you believe? How do we disentangle the causal relationships here?
I can't imagine that COVID-19 is not a cover for 5G. All the evidence points to that. You know, there's always a medical or some kind of outbreak when there is a new frequency introduced into the human population, always. And so to say that there would not be one with 5G would be ridiculous. Of course, there'll be medical effects, there'll be health problems from having these new sky-high frequencies bombarded around us. They used the pandemic to install many of these towers. But like you say, in Wuhan, that was fully installed prior, and they were already seeing medical problems, you know, kind of, you might say, pandemic type problems from the 5G before anybody talked about it as a COVID thing. So there were also kind of weird things where they would find bodies in the streets and you'd see video of this or a picture of that. And it was just, to me, it would look ridiculous. Every single person that fell, just dropped dead in Wuhan, was lying flat on their back, face up. You know, when you fall, you fall in different positions. You know, they had all these staged photographs of people who supposedly succumbed to COVID. And it was either, you know, 5G or they were just staging them because, you know, you don't just fall straight flat on your back from COVID. That's ridiculous. So if you saw Sam Milham's book, Dirty Electricity, talks about the pandemics caused by different radio frequency and electric field introductions into the human population. And it's very consistent. So certainly the 5G is going to produce that, is producing that, and has produced that. You know, the every city that was the big initial breakout, New York City, Milan, Italy, a couple more, Wuhan, all of them were initial 5G test centers. They were early breakout 5G test cities. And so it's too many coincidences. And the causation is there. So
that's your comment about all of them lying on their backs and so forth in comfortable positions is reminiscent of footage we have from Syria, where you see residents of the community rushing out, lying on the ground as though they'd been the victims of a gas attack. And then after they finish the footage and they say cut, they just get up, dust themselves off, and go on about their business. Scorpio, we're so glad you're here. Please join the conversation with Jerry.
Hey, Jerry, great to talk to you again. I enjoyed our last conversation on Giuseppe's show.
Yeah.
And I guess the first question I have, it's really cool you went to the Red Pill Expo. You know, a friend of the show, Casey Whalen, was there doing videography, and he did a few interviews. I don't know if you ran into him.
I did. Well, I was operating camera there, too. In between doing my presentation, I was running up and operating camera, and I was supposed to have kind of a break from that. I usually operate camera at Red Pill. I'm a video guy from way back, and they hire me on to do that. And then, as I said, we had one guy that was falling sick. So I wound up running back up, and I was up there between Casey and I. We covered for the camera operator that was not feeling well. So Casey's a great guy.
Oh, cool. That's great. And I guess my second question is, were people daring to actually shake each other's hands at this event, or were they doing the coward elbow bump?
I saw no elbow bumps. I saw nobody hesitating from hugging or anything like that. I was shaking hands. You know, I was in South Dakota, and I was just, in my mind, I was saying, I'm among the real people, you know, and you know, we shake hands, you know, that's how we do it. And I did that, they did that, that's all I saw.
Great, that's awesome, that's awesome. And, you know, your observation about the people falling, you know, face up in Wuhan, these were obviously staged. And, of course, in America, they did this thing where you're on this protracted, you know, a ventilator thing, you know, where they give you a drug to make you stop breathing and give you a drug to pretty much put you in a coma. And then it was, oh, wow, these people died. Who would have thought, you know?
Right.
It's just incredible the fraud that we're seeing on all levels of this COVID thing. And now, of course, you probably heard the newest thing is this Delta variant. And
I didn't hear it. I don't know that. Maybe let us all know what that is.
Well, apparently, see, it's just all so convenient because it is known to be to attack the younger people more, just at the very time they're trying to get young people vaccinated. Here comes this variant to try to scare young people who don't even get sick from this into taking this bizarre witch's brew of a so-called vaccine.
Yeah, it's beyond belief, you know, what they presume they can get away with or come up with, you know, all these miraculous coincidences that support their agenda and their narratives. You know, it's so obvious, I guess, to people like us who are actually looking for real information. And then we have to go out into the real world and deal with people who only see MSNBC, you know, and it's been amazing to me. You flip on the radio or whatever, I drive around Southern California, and we got a couple of news stations, and it's constantly we've got to keep doing our masks. No, let's wear two now. This is really bad. We shouldn't really let this lockdown go. You know, these ridiculous hypey PSAs and these hypey news stories, and you can just see these are all scripts. You can flip stations, and they're saying the exact same words. You know, and they're all reading from somebody's script. And it'd be nice. I wish I was the researcher to go into finding out where these scripts are emanating from, you know, the real sources. I guess we know it's sort of like, you know, the globalists, the billionaires, the, you know, world banks or whatever, you know, somebody's putting this stuff out. But boy, they're in lockstep now. It's obvious.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, it's obvious that these scripts are emanating from a central source, as you indicated, and that, you know, they're using, sort of a committee of psychologists and intelligence operatives to craft these things for the maximum effect. And the other thing that's becoming very clear to everyone who has eyes to see is that, essentially this whole COVID thing was a ruse to get people to take this vaccine, so-called vaccine. And I was just curious, what is your take on what the vaccine agenda is, and what's your take on that?
It's really hard to parse because there seems to be sort of conflicting or varying divergent agendas. You know, there's the agenda of sell vaccines, make money. And then there's the agenda of do something to kill people, you know, and those two seem to be kind of running parallel, kind of hand in hand. And they're definitely trying to kill people. And we're going to see, like, you know, in the next couple of years, whether or not these spike proteins are just going to kill people off. There was more news, I think, even as late as yesterday, where we're seeing more and more of these deaths from, you know, the blood clotting, which is what the spike protein causes, causes different symptoms all over the body. It might hit someone in the heart and cause heart failure. It might go to the brain, cause neurological failure, the neurological symptoms. It can also, it can also affect Alzheimer's and other cognitive issues. But that's just because the clotting happens to happen in your brain. It could happen to happen somewhere else. In women, it's very common that it happens in the reproductive organs, and they lose, they go sterile or whatever, have a miscarriage. But apparently we're finding out that all of these things, which, they love to see when things are not definite and you can't figure it out. Well, somebody gets a brain thing, somebody gets a heart thing, it's all clotting. So it's all based on this internal blood clotting. It just depends on where it happens in your body.
Yeah, actually, that's a very good point, Jerry. And what that does, too, is I believe it gives the conspirators plausible deniability. Right. Well, hey, you know, you had a heart attack. It's not our fault. You had this and that. Right. If enough different causes of death happen, it's like, hey, people die. Right. It's not our fault.
It's the same effect as radio frequencies and electric fields. It's like, you died of this, you died of that. Well, radiation can do anything to you. Wherever your body is weak, that's how it'll get you. And so it gives you that plausible deniability. So if you look at this, you step back and look at this from the RF standpoint, from the electric field standpoint, from the vaccine standpoint, how these things cause death in these sort of plausible, deniable ways. I get the sense sometimes that there's some incredible intelligence behind this. Imagine what it would take to devise this kind of, you know, conspiracy or whatever, and so there's too much evidence to say this isn't intentional. But the evidence, if it is intentional, required tremendous intelligence. I mean, to devise the spike protein theory and to integrate that with a vaccine and then to force this vaccine on the public and to have most of the public think, oh, it's just a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. It's an injection. It's an mRNA, whatever. It's not a vaccine. But everybody's acting, oh, like it's a vaccine. And they're using that term in the news incorrectly. So this is insidious. And you have to say how, you know, what kind of intelligence level. And I mean, if this is human activity or just conspiratorial activity, it would have required labs like Wuhan, the stage four labs, to get not only development of these pathogens, but to get extremely strategic and tactical about what pathogens you develop, how they act on the body, how they will produce, as you say, plausible, deniable effect. You know, this is tremendous. Somebody's working overtime on this, you know, to make it work the way it works. And they must be, because now you've got 4,000 to 5,000 deaths from what they're calling these vaccines. Well, there's never in history been a vaccine that killed more than, say, 50 people that they didn't pull off the market. So this is intentional. They're killing people and they're saying, oh, no, we're just going to keep going, even though we've killed 5,000 people now and injured tens of thousands. We're just going to keep going with this obviously defective, risky, harmful product. That's not what you do with vaccines. You don't do that. Well, you know, when you find harm and death and injury, you pull it from the market. Well, that should have happened long ago on this. So this is fully intentional. Whether something about it was accidental or not, I don't know. But if it was accidental, they decided to go with it anyway. So that makes it intentional. You know, the question would be, at what point along the line did they learn the truth? Go ahead.
You're making so many excellent points, Jerry. We have a report from Russia that they conducted an autopsy on a COVID-19 patient against WHO advisories, which is very peculiar, of course, except they want to conceal the true cause of death, and discovered it was from blood clots. So they put patients on an aspirin regimen, and they sent 14,000 home the same day, Jerry. I'm suggesting that those who have had the shot should be taking at least one, maybe even two aspirin a day, just so we can confirm the dosage, but as a protective measure to avoid the development of blood clots. It seems to me that's the best possible measure one could take if you have had the jab.
That's a really good idea. I had a friend who was a psychiatrist who was kind of like using drugs for things like that. And this was many years ago, but he would take half an aspirin a day. He said to keep his bloodstream flowing. And so you might be right about an aspirin or two. In my case, I probably couldn't do it because it upsets my stomach. Aspirin kind of doesn't work with my stomach. I was getting a lot of reactions when I did take aspirin. I was getting reactions from the aspirin. So there may be some people who can't do that. There may be some other way to do a basic over-the-counter blood thinning regimen that's different from aspirin. I don't know, but ask any doctor, they could tell you.
Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, we want to caution that we don't give medical advice. And when it comes to aspirin, you want to really compare with listeners or viewers are on a prescription, make sure it doesn't have some kind of deleterious effect with the prescriptions you're on. And as far as aspirin being bad for the stomachs, like Jerry described, a good way to go that way would be baby aspirin, which is buffered for an infant's digestive system. So that might be a way to go. But yeah, it is shocking, Jerry, that what is going on. And I would ask your thoughts on you've been in the media a long time. I believe you won an Emmy. Is that not correct?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This isn't something new. Ever since the truly evil transnational corporation Monsanto duped the FDA and the first world nation governments into allowing genetic modification via its Roundup toxic poison, the big pharma criminal cabal has sought to bring genetic modification into the human realm. And they've always failed because the animal trials kill all the animals, because you cannot hardwire an immune function. It just doesn't work. Nature is far more complex than these arrogant know-it-all know-nothings in genetics and immunology and virology. They think they got it all figured out. They don't. And so my question to you, Jerry, is you've been in the media. They've been trying to get to human genetic modification injections right around the turn of a century. I mean, the bird flu right around the turn of the century. China actually thought they had it, and it's been covered up. But they went beyond the animal tests, and they injected about almost 300 patients, and they all died. They thought they had it fixed, and they covered that up. And then in 2009, they tried with the latest swine flu.
Right.
At that time, in 2009, even 60 Minutes jumped all over. What the hell's going on? This is horrible side effects. What changed from the thinking citizen of first world nations to be able to say, this is bullshit. We're not taking this injection for a common cold or a flu. And it just got laughed off the table in the mainstream media. And yet, essentially a decade later,
right,
you've got everyone, oh my God, I'm so afraid. Oh, nanny state, right. Oh, big pharma, right. Save me. What changed in the ability of the average mainstream media viewer and internet user? What changed in their minds and the control of their minds to allow this wholesale carnage that's occurring now?
There were two things that changed. One is repetition. So you've been seeing repetition about vaccines are good, this is good, there's safe and effective. I mean, they literally use that wording, which is a total flat out lie. Safe and effective. So this gets repeated, and they're thinking, oh, this is just like my measles vaccine. So the indoctrination, the programming, the brainwashing of the American public with this endless repetition for years on end, and of course, doubling up when we got this vaccine. You know, now it just makes me laugh where they've got these public service announcements. I got my vaccine, and if you love people, you'll get yours too. You know, they just have these really sappy, manipulative things. So this is constantly being barraged. So that's the one reason why, I mean, you know, like Hitler said, you know, you tell a big enough lie, you repeat it long enough and people believe it. So that's the one reason. The other reason, very mechanical reason, pharmaceutical companies have bought lock, stock, and barrel the media. So when you spend a certain amount of advertising revenue in media and you constantly feed them public service announcements and messages and things, those messages go straight on the air. You give them actual copy for the scripts for the people who are reading the announcements and the promotions and what all. And it goes into the wording of the news. You think you're hearing news, you're really hearing vaccine company propaganda. So those are the two things. You've got the money that's driving the agenda, and you've got the endless repetition. So, and that's really happened in the last 10 years. That happened in the time frame you're referring to. So we have been brainwashed and we have been isolated. You know, this is, of course, coincident with the mass censorship on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, on and on and on. I mean, I just saw something the other day that it was just unbelievable, like 1.6 million pieces of content removed from Facebook alone. You know, and this would be very hand-selected, hand-picked, and anti-vax this and that, and some algorithms are going through and just wiping out information, wiping out public knowledge and opportunity to gain public knowledge from our online media platforms, most of them, even some that we consider alternative, but certainly the mainstream ones, the Facebook, the Twitter, the YouTube, the Google, the search algorithms are all doctored. The content is censored. It's you know, you search for vaccine injury on Google and you'll get 20 or 30 right at the top results of how vaccine injury has been debunked. you won't get any results about vaccine injuries, which is what you searched for. You know, it's so blatant, it's so in your face. So it's
and such obvious evidence of conspiracy. You'd think everyone in America had become a conspiracy theorist.
Right.
And they are, unless they're not paying attention, Jerry. We're coming up on a break shortly, but I want to draw you out about 5G, its effects, why it was introduced in the first place. It looks to me as though it's a technology the world really does not need and therefore has its own sinister driving force.
That's right.
When you could start now, you know, just give us a pricier overview and then we'll pick it up after the break.
Right. Well, 5G provides the opportunity for a much higher bandwidth because it's a higher frequency. And we don't, as you say, we don't need that bandwidth. The bandwidth is for the purpose of the things that are coming that, you know, where you're going to have digital bank currency, central bank digital currency, CBDC. You are going to have a card in your wallet and you'll go to spend money somewhere and says, no, I'm sorry, you're not permitted to spend money more than 5 miles from your home. And you're more than 5 miles from your home. So your card won't work right now. And you need to go back because when you drive more than 5 miles from your home, you're causing climate change. You know, so that's what that's what's coming. That's impossible without 5G. There's a few things like that.
So one absurdity is compounded by another, such as the myth that CO2 is somehow harmful to human beings and other living things when it's indispensable to life.
We exhale it, it's plant food.
Plants, we are being besieged by a hopelessly unscientific, illiterate claims that the American people are buying hook, line, and sinker. Scorp, you want to make a note before we hit the break?
Break started.
The music turned out.
Right back with our special guest, Jerry Dent. You don't want to miss a minute of this.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We're delighted to have as our guest an expert on EMF and 5G here, Jerry Day. And Scorpio, you were about to introduce a question or comment edgewise when we hit the break. Your thoughts?
Oh, thanks, Jim. Jerry, I thought, you know, right before the break, you made some really salient and important points in that this 5G will essentially be used to monitor your activity. And the scenario that you brought forth about, hey, you're 5 miles away from your home, your car's not going to work, you get back to your house, slave. That's going to be the system they want to try to enact. And of course, you might be spreading COVID as well. Don't forget that, because really both of these agendas, the climate agenda and the COVID agenda, are the same thing. They're all part of a grand plan or a scheme, let's say, to redirect the way people live. And, you know, it's all encompassing. And I just thought you made a great point. And a lot of people haven't made the connection that COVID and the Green Deal or what the climate change, it's all one agenda.
Right. It really is. And, you know, it'll give them the opportunity not just to do that, but any number of things we can't even imagine now. When you have connectivity, not only immediate connectivity between everyone and their cell phone, but everyone and their bank account, their money. So this real-time monitoring, you know, I saw a video about how China does it, and it's, you know, China's way ahead on this, and they're in total real-time monitoring of every citizen, and they have algorithms as needed to deal with that. You know, if they want to do the public shaming for somebody who did the jaywalking or whatever, they do it right then. Your face is on the monitor before you finish jaywalking. It's all real-time, and that's what you need 5G for.
Yeah, that's a great point. And Jerry, you know, this Chinese system is already in place, and they've actually offered to the United Nations to construct this platform for worldwide use of this system. So this is no conspiracy theory. This is what they have planned, and it's absolutely staggering. Now, I wanted to ask you, what do you think the correlation between 5G and so-called COVID is? I mean, can they use 5G to possibly enact things within this so-called vaccine? I mean, we've heard all these stories about the magnetism happening, and I've had that verified firsthand from somebody. So I know this stories of the magnetization of people's arms is indeed true.
I believe they call it magnetofection. And I think it's based on some principles that are unfamiliar to us. Cause I thought, you know, how do you get enough magnetizable material in the body to do that? Because some people are sticking things on their foreheads and different places. And I go, do we have that much metal in us? And apparently we do. And apparently there are processes by which biologically that material is kind of brought to the surface and rearranged or somehow. But this is technology, again, that's way beyond most of us. And phenomenon done with magnetism that is not familiar to most of us. And we're going to be some, you know, weeks, months, or years before I think the general public even has access to how and why this is happening. You know, it has something to do with rearranging the biome for data collection purposes. And, you know, definitely it all comes down to tracking, tracing, controlling human populations one way or another. And so you'll have multiple new fronts where it's your cell phone. You know, you get, now you're getting like alerts on your cell phone. You're supposed to go, oh, there's a child missing. And then, you know, the other day I got one, it's in, oh, look for a black Suburban, you know, so that, so your cell phone, it's very obvious. They can come in and completely take it over. You know, you can't even use it for a while. You get this alert and it's a graphic that they've imposed on your entire screen of your cell phone. And so they have total control over that, whatever content comes in from that, whatever is displayed on that. They potentially will have total control over your bank account and where and how your money may and may not be spent. And then they'll have total control in terms of your biome, in terms of, you know, magnetically sensing where you are, maybe putting impulses, whether it's EMP style impulses or whatever, to give you different physical effects in your body. They can disable people easily with that. Obviously, the targeted individuals know all about that. So we're headed.
Jerry, would you say the attempt to convert to the Green Deal and electric cars is part and parcel of limiting mobility so they can better control individuals by circumscribing the range at which they have the ability to travel? I mean, it seems to fit everything else you're describing.
It would make sense because having a big push to go electric does not save the climate. You're still having to use fossil fuels to make cars to a great extent. You're still having to use fossil fuels to generate the electricity to charge the car. So there's no environmental benefit to going to electric cars, particularly, unless they come up with some miraculous way to charge cars electrically without sourcing fossil fuels or other forms of pollution. So it makes sense that there's another agenda. You know, this is one of these false agendas. You know, that, oh, it's to save the planet. No, it's not. Electric cars don't save anything. So, yeah, there must be another plan, and I wouldn't be able to speculate. That's a good guess on your part, Jim, that, you know, it might give them a way to disable your car. With so many computers in cars now and so much, you know, there's hundreds of computers in every car, they can control them anyway. You know, they're actually, you know, we've seen these videos online where, some hacker can cause your brakes to lock up anytime they want. You know, they can actually deliver a signal to your car sensors and your brakes will lock up, your engine will stall, you know, so that can be done even with a gas powered engine. So I'm not sure, maybe with an electric car, they would have even more control like that, I would suppose.
Well, you're making great points, and the Chinese model appears to be what is being designed for the entire world so that a tiny elite can control everyone's activity using these fantastic developments in technology, combining AI and computer algorithms with 5G. I mean, it's unbelievable, right. Like a technocratic nightmare for anyone who cares about freedom and liberty, but for the evil demons who want to control the world, what could be more perfect?
Yeah, and you're right, and people forget that it's a two-way thing, and it will be, you know, every device will be a cell phone. Every device will be able to transmit your location, your activity, sometimes your health state, sometimes your psychological mood. And all this data will be going in, and they can put data out and cause things and control things and manipulate things. So I think that what they're doing now is building infrastructure, and they don't even need to know or plan yet exactly how they're going to apply it. They know that this is a connection to your life. It's a connection to your psychology. It's a connection to your body and your health. It's a connection to your money. It's a connection to your behavior. And they're going to have everyone on a leash, everyone on not one, but many tethers. And so they know that it's just party time. Once this all gets implemented, they can come up with who knows what.
From the perspective of evolution or sociobiology, what they're really doing is taking a higher animal life and reducing it to the forms of behavior of the social insects, the wasps, the bees, the ants, which is highly regimented and by and large instinctively controlled, as opposed to humans having their own beliefs and motives and ethics or lack thereof, enabling them to make many choices that may depart from the desires or expectations of those who are now putting themselves in the position to control our every move, if not our every thought.
And they have something now that's going to enable them to do that. Some people would say, well, how could you come up with a way to control, you know, 7.5 billion people? Well, all you need is AI. AI can be multiplied billions of times. You know, you don't need human interaction. If you have AI, you have the mechanism by which you can control everyone. In other words, you know, some people would say, well, you know, in a city, I lived in Burbank, California. They said at any given time, there were only 10 police officers on duty in the city of Burbank, city of 100,000 people. And so you go, well, there are limited things you could do. You could create a diversion, get all the cops over there and do your bad business over here. You know, there are a lot of ways to game that. And that's a very limited enforcement facility. When you have AI, you've got a cop on every person. You've got multiple cops on every person. There is nowhere to hide, nowhere to do anything. And this is where, you know, it gets into the 7.5 billion cops, 7.5 billion bankers, 7.5 billion whatever they need to control you, to put moves on you, to motivate your behavior, to restrict your behavior. And so I think, you know, you listen to Elon Musk talk about AI, and he claims to be scared to death of it, because human beings have never been on this planet where there was something 1,000 times more intelligent than they were. We've never had to deal with that. And, you know, when something emerges that's more intelligent than us, we generally try to kill it off. That's what the human race tends to try to do. You can't kill off AI. Once it's out there, you can't stop it. The only way to stop it would be to shut down the entire network of computers. And, you know, if we do that now, we've made ourselves totally dependent on computer networks. You know, they're running our water systems, our electric systems, our political systems, our media systems. They're running everything. If we shut down the internet or, you know, online services, there would be, you know, millions dead within 2 weeks. And so we don't have the option of shutting it down, and we won't have the option, we won't have the ability to remove AI from it. So we're headed for a very brave new world.
Yeah, you make so many excellent points. Just a trivial terminological matter. Someone was taking exception to the use of the word or phrase fossil fuels. Well, we know they aren't actually fossil fuels, and it's a product that Earth generates in copious quantity, but it's a part of conventional language that we use phrases like that and others that are analogous, even though we know they're not technically correct. In order to have conversation in ordinary context, it's not essential to be precise. So I just would commend the commentator there to, you know, think about ordinary conversational context. Scorpio, I know you have many thoughts.
Well, this is a great interview, Jerry. You've certainly thought a lot of this through. And, you know, do you think that 5G could actually be used to stimulate some kind of autoimmune response within this so-called vaccine or people's immune systems? I've heard that speculation. I just don't have the background to know if that's possibly true. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, 5G is toxic. It's radio frequencies. It's going to hurt you. It's, you know, so whether or not it triggers autoimmune, I don't know if there's a specific mechanism, you know, to specifically cause an autoimmune issue. But anything, as I said earlier, anything that can go wrong with your body can be exacerbated or even caused in some cases by RF, because it's simply something that destroys the ability of cells to do their work. Those frequencies, especially up there in the high frequencies, 10 to 60 gigahertz, are going to completely shut down cellular regeneration, cellular, you know, taking in nutrients, expressing waste. They just shut down. When they get hit with those frequencies, they say, oh, there's a threat. I have to stop working and go into survival mode. And it's far more damaging if you get those exposures when you're asleep, because when you're asleep is when your cells are doing most of their work. So, definitely that they're, but they're going to affect autoimmune issues, but whether or not they're specifically designed to do that or they have special capacity in that area, I don't know. I don't know if someone is targeting us in that way with 5G, but 5G is not something you want in your neighborhood.
Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Yeah, Jerry, you've done some phenomenal work with your technical background in seeking to expose 5G. I'd like to get your thoughts on this whole idea that these globalist parasites are seeking to literally change nature, destroy nature, and destroy humanity in its natural state and create this bizarre transhuman reality. You know, there's a new word I came across last week of the movement when you want to support nature and be a true human. It's called vitalism. And you don't want to pursue joining as Ray Kurzweil, the Google nut, kept talking about last couple decades, the singularity, merging man and machine. I think that's the greatest crime against nature you could possibly achieve. And yet they're going, they're hell-bent, and pun intended, to achieve that. What are your thoughts on this whole transhuman agenda?
Right. Well, transhumanism obviously is, who's, you okay with the phone there? Somebody got a phone?
We'll find out who it is. Keep going.
Sure.
That's the CIA calling, guys. No cause for alarm.
It took them a while to find us, didn't it? But I think a lot about the transhuman thing and the whole, why would that be a meme? Why is that pushed as a narrative? I mean, I understand one or two people around like Ray Kurzweil who, you know, think it's a really nifty, neat, and technology can do no wrong, and let's go balls to the wall, and why not just put machines all over in our bodies, and then eventually we'll be all machine and hopefully preserve our consciousness, and we won't have it. And who is the, I can't remember the engineer, the scientist who I saw a great interview on, Max Friedman, and he taught, and Max Friedman said, why would you want to be transhuman? Why would you want to have this technology used on your body? And he said, that's the whole idea. He said, that's the ultimate goal. I want to not have a flesh and blood body. I want to not have this, what was his word? It was like imperfect biological body. I want a perfect machine body and consciousness. And I'm clean and I'm happy and I'm live forever. So there are actually people who are wanting this for themselves because they're not comfortable in their own bodies. They have issues with, not looking the way they want to look, or their body's not feeling the way they want to feel, or whatever. And they're high-tech people, and they say, no, we can solve this just by becoming electronic, digital, mechanical beings with a consciousness. And so I think that's their desire is... it could be a real dirty trick when they get all the way there and they find out machines can't have consciousness, or machine consciousness doesn't exist or can be controlled, in ways that they don't want it controlled. Obviously it could. And so they're really fooling themselves. This is, they have no idea. It's sort of like flying in a car down a unlit black tunnel. You have no idea if you're going to hit something. And so that's what transhumanism is, as far as I can see. I certainly don't want any part of it. I don't even want to go to a doctor anymore because they're upselling and making you sick to improve their revenue streams. Now that seems to be a industry standard in the medical industry. So we're being assaulted. I think it all comes back to this idea of depopulation, because like you guys are making great points about how it doesn't make total sense that you're doing it for the environment. You're destroying the environment. Electric cars don't help the environment, or the CO2 is not an environmental pollutant of any kind. And there's all these arguments that this what's they say they're doing for climate change or the environment or whatever isn't really doing anything for that. And so what are they doing? And the only other large looming concept that appears is depopulation, is human depopulation. Now, if you can get everybody either dead or hooked up to your digital machine through transhumanism, you've got perfect control, basically. So it doesn't matter if they kill you or if they hook you up to some monitoring devices and can completely control you and your money and your life and your behavior. That's okay, because you're gonna be serving their agendas, so they don't need to kill you. But at the same time, I think somebody apparently wants to kill enough people to dramatically reduce what they see as the carbon footprint and the environmental burden on the planet. I think there is an agenda that one way or another they want to see a lot of people disappear in the next 2 to 10 years, and it looks like that these vaccines may get them a long way toward that goal. You know, with the spike proteins and the animal studies where all the animals died, you know, and they just said, okay, we'll cover that up. And they're going ahead and already killed 5,000 people, and they haven't pulled the vaccine from the market. You know, it's very, very clearly indicated that they're deliberately trying to reduce population in a major way.
Jerry, I think David Icke had it right in the beginning when he said this was an intent to wipe out small businesses and the middle class and essentially return to a feudal society where you've got the rich and powerful ensconced in their castles, gated communities, and the rest who remain are toiling as serfs and slaves in the field. It actually, I think, is going to have a strong anti-technology dimension to it, even though what we're talking about here, the principal implementation to control what remains after they exterminate most of the world's population, is going to be via high-tech devices like AI. I mentioned in passing that in previous research, such as my books, AI and Scope and Limits, Philosophy and Cognitive Science, and The Evolution of Intelligence, I have established arguments I take to be conclusive why digital machines operating technically von Neumann architecture on ones and zeros, high and low voltage, cannot develop mentality or consciousness, but they can do a close facsimile. Right. The fact is they can't attain it. So in a way, what you are suggesting is the ultimate deception is well-founded theoretically and philosophically and scientifically. It's an interesting situation. But these technocrats with evil intent can nevertheless benefit so massively. It's been obvious to me forever that when you put a complaint to Twitter or YouTube or Facebook, they were being automatically dealt with. No thinking thing was actually looking at what you were saying. It didn't mean anything to the machines who were processing what they were being sent, basically only on the basis of syntax. In other words, key phrases and so forth, almost 99% rejection rates to simplify the bother, you know. That means that these social media giants don't actually have to hire people who are capable of human thought.
It's fully automated.
I mean, my God, some of them might agree with those who are protesting and objecting. It just simplifies everything with no nuances, no subtlety, and no respect for creativity, intelligence, imagination,
humanity.
Thought. Right. It's all shameful, the reduction in the functional level of intelligence that's taking place throughout society as a consequence.
To confirm your suspicions, I had an interesting experience on YouTube where I had a vaccine. You know, I just opened the door and I made a vaccine. It was something about let's get real about vaccines. Or I think it was a second one where I had another topic on vaccines, and it was very, very revealing, and I knew that it would be a target. It did get censored after a little while. It took them a little while. I had one video go to 80,000 views before it got censored, and then I put it over on BitChute, and it only got 500 views in the same amount of time. So YouTube is not doing too well about controlling the message. But they censored this particular video, And then they give you this little right of appeal box that, you know, you can't talk to any human beings. You can't contact YouTube in any way other than fill out a little box that says you can do your appeal right here. Well, I wrote in that box, I said, this video reveals things about vaccines that kill people. And they said I had disagreed with the World Health Organization. I said, the World Health Organization is putting on misinformation. And if you suppress this video, you will be personally liable for the harm and damage, the deaths and injuries you cause by not allowing people to see this information. You personally, whoever, whatever automated thing deletes this, whether it's a human being or YouTube itself and YouTube/Google, you are liable now for the harm you cause by depriving people of this information. They restored that video. And that video came back, and I couldn't believe my.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, this is a drill, on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Spitzer together with Joseph Vafangulo and David Scorpio. We're our guest today. Jerry Day is an expert on electromagnetic force, pulse, directed energy weapons, 5G, and the like. We're going to open the lines to callers here, where the number is 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. While we're awaiting callers, Jerry, we have an interesting comment from Numerican in the chat room who suggests someone has to collect the data sufficient that human subjects can be ruled over by machines, by which time he implies even the techies will become superfluous. Do you have a thought about that? I have some of my own, but I invite yours.
Yeah, if that's from New American, that may be my friend Alex Newman. He's a brilliant thinker and probably way ahead of me on some of this. So, it doesn't make sense that we have to do this. I, as you kind of pointed out here, is needed or useful to do that, that's fine. If not, it doesn't matter. Like you say, we can go back to an old feudal system. It doesn't matter as long as there's control. Now, what the technology is offering at the current moment is the opportunity to go to total human population control, and doing it through technology, through our, you know, our cards and our devices and our banks and everywhere else. Well, once you've established this system of control, that technology later maybe could go away. Be sort of like the German Shepherd that as a small puppy you train by hitting him with a newspaper, and when that German Shepherd grows up to be a full-grown dog, he's terrified of newspapers, even though the newspaper poses no threat to him any longer. He's still afraid of that newspaper. And so you can condition and program society to be controlled in certain ways, and maybe the technological that habituation, the indoctrination of the population, that they are to be controlled. So I don't think the technology will matter in the long run. It matters in the short run, where they can establish means of control.
I think available online, all our financial, medical, yeah, phone records, everything else. Scorpio, I know you're eager to enter the fray.
Well, Jerry, I thought you did a great job of describing the delusional mindset that is involved in this so-called transhumanism. These people are devoid of any spiritual understanding, and they don't acknowledge that, you know, whether you're religious or whether you're spiritual, that this creation is part of a divine creation that's far beyond anything human beings could possibly conceive of. And the idea that you're going to live in a machine body and have a consciousness just shows that they don't even understand that people have some. In a body, And these people are truly satanic in the sense that they want to recreate God's creation in their image. And this is going to end in absolute disaster and destruction of everything. And I think some of the people at the top know that. And that is indeed their goal, to destroy everything. And then people below them are delusional and think, yeah, I'm going to get to live forever in a machine body. It's going to be wonderful. But guys, that ain't going to happen.
And if it does, it's not going to be that much fun. And like you say, it's delusional. The idea of having a machine is going to be somehow terrifying than the life you set up for us. It's just a little bit of a, I think they don't necessarily want to have a body that they love. They want to have a body that they can control, that they think they have domain over. And you know, you have this body and it's going to fail on you eventually and you're going to die. Oh, that's not okay. I want a body that I control. I think it's more about control than experience. Obviously, you can't say that you would necessarily be able to reproduce the experiences or the joy or the, you know, feelings of a biological body with a mechanical body. We just couldn't even speculate on that.
Yeah. It's all delusional and it's devoid of any spiritual understanding or growth. And, you know, just briefly going back to the electric car issue you brought up earlier, that is definitely about control because, you know, I think the range at best is going to be a couple hundred miles. It could certainly be a lot lower than that in the future. And, you know, if you can't afford a $60,000 or $80,000 electric car, you're not going to be driving because, you know, GM has already agreed to quit producing gasoline-powered cars by 2035. So there's going to come a point where they make gas-powered cars illegal. You simply can't have them. And, you know, it'll all be to whether or not you can have access to a charging station or not. What's your social credit score? You know, will determine how many miles you can put on your car. I mean, this is absolute total control of everything. And furthermore, as you pointed out, electric cars are not going to be better for the environment. All you're doing is plugging into a power plant rather than putting gas in your car. And of course, the other part they don't want you to think about is just the absolute disaster of these lithium batteries. When they finally go bad, there's really nothing they can do with them other than try to store them somewhere. They're extremely toxic, and there's no way to alleviate that problem at this time.
That's a great point, Scorpio, because that's a problem we have with nuclear energy. We have no way to dispose of the waste. We're talking about, you know, half-lives of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of years, and we have nowhere to put it that doesn't threaten aquifers that are fundamental to life. I mentioned Numerican suggested as a form of rebuttal, so I think it's all over. That was, of course, not my point, but rather that you don't have to go out and accumulate data that's already been accumulated and readily available online as we speak. I mean, just think numerically how much data about you is already out there at the top of a button. I mean, I'm just pointing out that Jerry's scenario is very, very plausible, even given all the availability here. They don't have it in place yet, thank God, and hopefully never will. We do have two callers online. The first is Bruce from Texas. Bruce, join the conversation with Jerry Day, Giuseppe, Scorpio, and me. Bruce.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. I'm going to try to be quick here to let the next caller come on, and I won't be able to hang on for follow-ups. But I just want to put this on the table. I'm sure we've all seen the pictures of pollution in China, people wearing masks, red skies full of dust. And it's very easy to search. I pulled up a paper in about 5 seconds, but chronic obstructive pulmonary disease in China is a major issue. Is becoming a leading cause of morbidity and mortality, with tobacco smoking, biomass fuel use, and genetic susceptibility being the major risk factors. Okay. And I'm not shilling for the telecommunications industry or the vaccine industry at all. Like, I'm looking at a 5G tower right now the same tower used to have turkey vultures roosting on it at night. They no longer go near the thing. Okay. But, you know, if you have a virus that attacks the pulmonary system in a very strong manner, it's very logical to assume that a population that has a high rate of COPD is going to have a higher rate than normal of deaths due to the coronavirus. So I don't know about this 5G connection to it's part of a large plot to kill off people, because Wuhan is a city of 11 million people. There were only a few thousand there that officially died from COVID. So your thoughts?
We have estimates of up to 2 million having disappeared. Their cell phones went out of service, suggesting the effects of...
Oh, can you break 2 million? That's worse than the Holocaust. Where are you going to hide all those bodies at?
Well, that's no problem. Don't think that would be a problem. I just flew from L.A. to Rapid City, and I looked out of that plane window, and I hardly saw a living soul the entire flight. I mean, we have so much space in so many places in the in the world. The idea that we're overcrowded is such a joke. You know, you can fly in an airplane over the United States for 4 hours and hardly see even a city. So where are you going to hide something? There are plenty of places to hide things, believe me, brother. And, the death rates are completely controlled and manipulated by the government, along with all the other statistics they throw at us. There's no problem hiding things like that.
Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, I would just add that, especially in China, there is no idea that you're going to criticize the government. You know, one of my good friends married a girl that's actually, grew up in China. And when they went to go visit her parents, they were going to a couple of different cities. And she told them flat out, every little town and big city has actual secret government agents, believe it or not, that are watching the populace, and anyone who starts to stir up trouble or starts speaking out against anything the government does simply disappears. And so I don't think it'd be a problem to make a lot of bodies disappear, because no one is going to be able to say a word about it unless they want to risk their own life. That is the future that they want to bring to us, that type of system worldwide.
Giuseppe.
Well, I would like to interject that Jerry brought up a phenomenal point earlier about the mind control. It's so far beyond propaganda now, it's gaslighting. And for example, the current narrative that the disgusting, deceitful Washington, I added the R because there's never a war they don't champion, especially for the greater Israeli project, that they just said, oh my God, 600,000 people in the United States have died from COVID-19. What an ominous milestone in the last year. And it's complete and utter bullshit, because Bruce from Texas lucidly pointed out that there's so much pollution in China. They wear the masks, and there's so much COPD because they're literally breathing in toxic, destructive clouds into their lungs, and they all smoke as well heavily, many of the Chinese do. And so here, the actual amount of deaths from true COVID-19, the contagion with the gain of function bells and whistles, like instantaneous loss of sense and smell, it's probably maybe 2,000. The rest all died from comorbidity. They had cancer stage 4. They had COPD. They have liver disease. They have kidney failure. They have diabetes late stage. They have all these maladies already, morbidly obese. And so any year, not just COVID-19, any year, they would die from the flu, from a bad cold, from pneumonia. And so it's farcical and intentional and incredibly malevolent and sinister that this whole scamdemic, this whole gaslighting, that you have to take the injection, the genetic sabotaging injection. Now, it's not modifying, it's literally sabotaging, because these arrogant know-it-all know-nothings, you can't hardwire the human's immune system. It's far more advanced than any of these clown-like geneticists think what they can achieve. And so I'd like to ask Jerry if he thinks that will this wake people up, as the next year or so is going to be horrific numbers in terms of young people with cardiac events from the blood clotting, murdering, especially a lot of people are going to die from autoimmune. They have chronic fatigue. They have fibromyalgia. It's just going to explode, and that will kill them. And so do you think at that point people will wake up, even in their entranced and trained simple-mindedness, and see the actual cause of this carnage, or will they just go along with the program?
With what the media does, they can easily create a narrative that they blame COVID or the variants or the, you know, some other pathogen or some other boogeyman from outer space. They can blame those deaths on that. And they can repeat and hammer that, oh, this is the new variant. This is the new variant. Oh no, the new variant, get your mask on, get your vaccine, more, you know, this germ is getting even more virulent. You know, they'll come up with some narrative that will divert the attention and the reality, you know, and the awareness to whatever they want. And they've got, how many people on the mainstream side that are just believing whatever they hear and letting the, you know, there are families, people who leave televisions on all day in their house while their whole family is running around doing things, and they allow this programming to continually come into their brains. And so, yeah, I would say, what is the difference? What is the division between people like you guys, me, you know, our community, who kind of are at least interested in knowing what is the truth? What's the breakdown percentage-wise to the mainstream public who say that other group who has no concept of any of this, not looking for it, not willing to consider it, not looking at media that has it, you know, just taking whatever media, mainstream media programming is given to them. So, you know, we have this problem, you know, but I don't know. That's the question I think I'd like to see is, you know, like 10 years ago, nobody heard of Alex Jones. Nobody heard of David Icke. Nobody heard of thousands of people now who are bringing research and truth out. And you guys, you know, all of us, I mean, when you look at it over a broader time frame, this movement has exploded. It's vast, but it's getting bigger every day. I would assume it's growing because it has grown in the last 10 years to massive audiences, to the point where they're having to censor Alex Jones. They're having to completely deplatform him. So, you know, obviously we're having an effect. Obviously there's a major amount of truth seekers that are growing in number every day. So, you know, the question is, how long can they fool how many people, and what are they going to do about us? What are they going to do about the people that know more about what's going on, that have some sense, some ability to apply critical thinking, some curiosity, some, you know, sharing research and information with each other? What are they going to do about us? That's what I'd like to know.
I think we're on the extinction list, Jerry, and all cancer, you know, they don't expect us to be around.
It's so much easier to kill the dumb sheeple. It's so much easier to kill them. We know what to dodge. We know what's coming at us. It's harder to kill us. So
yeah, but they also know the sheeple aren't the problem. It's us. We are the problem.
So, I don't think they care. I don't think they care. I think they want to reduce the numbers. I think it's human culling. Mm-hmm. And you know, one person dead is a brownie point on their side. And, you know, yeah, of course, you know, we're busting them all the time. We're exposing them. Mm-hmm. Our numbers are growing. I don't know. Let's see. You know, I'm surprised at how they do and do not attack certain people, you know, like Hillary. You know, there was just this guy died from a quote suicide, this media guy that went against Hillary back in the, you know, the 06 election or whatever it was. And they're still going after those enemies. And they've got much worse enemies now than some guy who wrote a bad news story about them 6 years ago. So there are certain things where we're looking for reason and rationality and logic, and there's impulse and revenge and anger. So those are, you know, we're looking in the wrong places sometimes. These elites are not always rational. They're not always logical and not always acting in their own best interests.
And rationality and research require debate, open contest between alternative positions, hypotheses, evidence, which is why they're so massively seeking to suppress. Scorpio, go for it.
Yeah, you brought up a good question, Jerry. What are they going to do with people that seem to know what's going on? And one of the big things they're really trying to create inside the mainstream media right now is this idea that, you know, the greatest threat that we face is so-called domestic terrorism and white supremacy. And I think what they're doing is they're just setting the field, setting the table for when they actually have to start dealing with people who don't want to go along with the agenda. Because one problem they know they're going to have is once it becomes obvious that this really is what they're going to do, kill people and completely control people's lives, there's going to come a point where the average normie is starting to realize something's seriously wrong, and they have to have a mechanism in place to deal with this. And so this idea of domestic terrorism and white supremacist terrorism, I think they're just setting the stage for maybe, you know, re-education camps, people disappearing as they do in China. I'm not sure. What are your thoughts on that, Jerry?
I think so. I think you're right on. Like we were talking about earlier, you know, where you have this tremendous technological infrastructure that will be set up to control and track and trace and, you know, monitor, may not after a certain point be necessary. And I think you're right, where we need extraordinary measures to introduce the control. And then after that, you know, there'll be so many people that are gone, so many people that are in fear of their lives, so many people that are in terror of the infrastructure, the artificial intelligence, the government, the media, everything will be ganged up on them. And, you know, we've always had the sense you can't beat City Hall, which is very valid because, you know, we grant central authority to somebody and they take central authority and they say, okay, you just voted. You made me the boss. You don't count anymore. And so we all have this sense you can't fight City Hall. Well, that multiply that times 200 when you can't escape the AI, when you can't escape being monitored, tracked, facial recognition everywhere you go, you can't do anything. And you're going to say that's absolutely futile to try to resist this. And so everybody is going to become channeled and habituated into total conformity, total obedience. And once that's in position for a generation or even maybe 5 years, you're habituated. You've already got people who will never take their mask off. They'll wear their mask every time they go in a store, no matter what, from now on for the rest of their lives. You have people who were habituated in this 1 year to change that behavior, even though if they wanted to, they could look up on the internet, find out the mask is going to kill them. It's going to make them sick. It's going to put, you know, they're rebreathing their pathogens, you know, they're getting too much CO2. You know, it's obviously not a natural thing, obviously not a healthy thing, but they're going to wear that mask. You figure out why. Is it because they're programmed? Is it because they believe they're doctored? Is it because they listen to too much media that tells them to wear the mask? Is it because they programmed themselves to say, oh, there's germs everywhere, and now they can't get this idea out of their mind that there's germs everywhere, that other people are toxic to them? Oh, you know, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. It's the work is done. There is a certain number of people who will always use and wear masks. Even a friend of mine I know who doesn't like the mask said she would always have one in her purse just in case somebody makes you wear it. So even the people that are resisting this are saying, well, we have to at least have the mask. Otherwise, you can't go into Walmart or something. You know, so you know, once this paradigm has been in place for a few years, where they're controlling through your cell phone, they're controlling you through your bank account, they're controlling you through mass surveillance all over the city, everywhere, all day long, they're controlling you through real-time controls. Once that's been in place for 5 or 10 years, I think people will just assume it's happening from then on, whether it is or not.
Yes, Jerry, you know, very easy to normalize any behavior that they want. And I agree. Just yesterday, I ran into this woman at a restaurant. She was very friendly, and she says, then she started talking to me, and then she realized, oh, I forgot my mask, and started to, you know, cover her face because she was worried. I said, oh, don't worry, it's fine. It's all a big scam anyway. And she went from being very friendly to absolutely terrified of me, and just walked away in abject terror, saying, I can't go there, and just walked away from me as fast as she could. It was just surreal.
That is bizarre. The psychology underneath all this, we don't even realize is happening to people. That's amazing.
We have three callers on the line, so we're finessing the break to promote conversation. The first, Paul from California. Paul, join the conversation.
Jerry, just wanted to let you know I'm a big fan of your work, especially a lot of the stuff you did earlier, which you can no longer find on YouTube about the law. You are actually part of my wake-up process, probably starting back in, I want to say, 2015 or so. I think what you just said about people being long-term conditioned is exactly correct. I think what we're looking at is a long-term learned helplessness. I also think that despite the waking up process from, you know, people like David Icke and Alex Jones and so forth, that we're still dealing with the fact that most people are weak, most people are kind of stupid, and most people are easily manipulated. This has been my experience going back 20, 30 years. A number of things I wanted to address, first of all, is I think your insights on 5G are excellent. I think that really they are setting up, pardon me, a kind of a, what I call an electronic shock collar, if you will. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to notice, pardon me again, that when you look at the old towers, you know, what you call the previous iterations of, you know, 4G and 3G, whatever it was, that these are much farther away and much higher up. But the towers that are going around here in my town, San Jose, are much lower, okay, streetlight level, and much closer. And just to believe that that is only for, you know, higher speed data and more, you know, quicker downloads is got to be just the most ridiculous notion. But yet people just they're not willing to go there, not really willing to believe that this could indeed be a plot against us. I got a couple more things about electrical stuff, Jim. I don't know how close we are to the break.
And a weaker signal. So there are technically reasons and excuses for putting more towers closer to homes because the signal is so fragile. But because the signal is so fragile, they have to supplement it with 4G. So you're getting the full cell tower that used to be a mile and a half down the road on every block, several on every block now with 4G. So that's where it starts to not make sense and fall apart because, you know, 4G can do everything that we need. And the idea that they're going to have to go to the 5G and multiply the number of towers by many magnitudes just doesn't add up, especially when they have to supplement it with 4G, probably at least for the next 10 years, if they ever get 5G to work perfectly at all. Up until that point, they will need 4G, and it'll be at least 10 years, according to Wall Street Journal. There are technologies that 5G requires to work that aren't even developed yet. And everything about that they tell you about 5G is in your phone, 5G is here. It's not here. It's a lie. It's marketing. It's a complete fabrication.
Scorpio wants it. Then we'll continue with Paul. Scorpio.
Jerry, how do you think they're going to logistically put these towers up everywhere? I mean, yeah, I think that 10 years is probably a pretty conservative estimate because, as I understand it, they're going to need these towers every, you know, a couple thousand yards. How are they going to logistically do this?
Well, they've already done a lot of it. You know, they did most of it or a lot of it during the lockdowns. They were out there full time, full force, putting up 5G towers as fast as they could. unwitnessed, you know, people not seeing.
I can testify to the truth of that, too. I saw that.
I think if you look at the major cities, you'll find that they are not finished, but they are heavily built in with 5G now. I've seen it in L.A., Santa Monica. I've seen, you know, you see these towers everywhere now. So it's not a question of building the towers and having that within 10 years. I think I believe they'll easily do that. What they don't have is some of the technologies. And I can't remember. I remember in a presentation I did, I had five technologies. One of them was MIMO, multiple in, multiple out, where instead of seeing 12 transmitters on a tower, you see 200 in a giant ring. And there is a different configuration. And so when you put that many transmitters next to each other, there's tremendous problems with interference. And they have to figure out how to technologically overcome those problems, and the multiple in, multiple out. Well, there were five of those different things, different types of technologies that we don't have. They're not developed yet. They're not ready. They're not built into the current towers, even the new 5G ones. It's not there. So they can do higher frequencies. They can do this or that. But what they're promising as 5G is impossible in their current infrastructure. And that, because of the technical challenges, is what's going to take 10 years or more to get perfected. And in the meantime, we're really going to be using 4G and being told that we're using 5G. You know, they'll try to increase our bandwidth one way or another, fudge it this way or another. Oh yeah, that's 5G, that's faster. It's all smoke and mirrors. But I don't think that the number of towers is that much of a challenge. I think you're right in that they're not there. I mean, especially if you're talking about rural areas, they do have to be every 1,000 feet. So, you know, you go out into the, like I was saying, I was in an airplane and I flew over the U.S. There was nobody there. You know, it's a big, big, vast prairie of nothing. And there are people scattered around out there. Well, to get them all wired to 5G, and you're right, that'll take some time. But the cities, I think, will be only a few years, and they'll at least have the tower infrastructure in place. That would be my guess.
Nice points, Jerry. Paul, continue. You have further comments and questions.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly correct, Jerry. I think that there's a fraud aspect to this, because I remember talking to the crew that was installing on the street, like, because they're putting them up on either existing street poles, or in the case of my block, they actually moved a streetlight pole for whatever reason. I didn't really get into that, but they were telling me that they're supposed to be going up approximately every 1,000 feet. Well, I can tell you right now, these 5G array, or these arrays, since they might not be 5G like you say, are all over on streetlights, but there's nowhere near 1,000 feet apart. I mean, I wouldn't know exactly the distance between each of them, but I can't imagine that they're much closer than maybe a quarter to a half a mile apart in most cases. So again, there's probably a lot of stuff that we're not being told. On the electrical thing, though, I just want to revisit something I mentioned to before, and I encourage everybody to look at these references I'm going to give you. First of all, there's a book called Dirty Electricity by Stanley Milgram. It's not that long of a read, 100 or so pages, and it's fairly straightforward. And the subtitle of the book is Electricity and the Diseases of Modern Civilization. And one of the most amazing things to me that he revealed in there is the fact that many people are sensitive to such things as the magnetic electrical fields generated by the steel belts in your radial tires, and that some people had their illnesses remit after they changed out of their tires, because when you're driving down the road, right, spinning these steel belts at a high rate of speed, it generates an electromagnetic field which affects you in the car. And that there's a lot of things we haven't been told about the fact that when we're living in a house with wires and outlets, we're basically in an electrical grid. So that's part of it. The other part of it is, years ago, I saw an experiment. Somebody showed it. I think it was on YouTube, where a guy took a beaker of water and he put a couple of leads in it and showed that it conducted electricity, but not so well. And part of it was tap water. Then the next one he did was distilled water, which is even a worse conductor than tap water. And then what he did is he took a little teaspoon of salt and he stirred it around, and he put the two leads in there again, and it conducted electricity much better, significantly better. And of course, this goes to the point which is raised by Dr. Bette Mangelic in his book, Your Body's Many Cries for Water, where it's crucial to be properly hydrated and to have the proper intake of salt. Because at the essence of most biological processes, they're electrical in nature. I highly recommend everybody go online and watch Dr. Jerry Tennant's 25-minute presentation, Healing is Voltage. Now, you could spend much longer. I probably have at least 10 hours or so into Dr. Jerry Tennant, similar to Dr. Dean Bonlie, B-O-N-L-I-E, and his work on electrical and magnetic fields. So we are essentially electrical beings. Many of the processes in the body occur because of an electrical potential. And I sent a lot of people on this call. I sent you a link to a movie called Earthing the Movie. If you watch that, there's one of the scenes in there is where they take a look under a microscope at somebody's blood after they've gone out and walked barefoot. And what they show is there's now a charge between the red blood cells, so they repel each other and they can flow smoothly. In my opinion, which is neither medical or legal, I don't think anybody should be taking aspirin or needs to take aspirin, when what you really need is sufficient hydration, sufficient physical activity, and sufficient salt. And if you don't want to go walking any long distances barefoot, just go outside on the grass or the dirt and rub your feet like you're wiping your feet on a rug. This has been proven. This is actual science. This will actually give you the electrical charge that you are lacking. So for the moment, that's the electrical part. Thanks for letting me get that out there.
Thanks for all that, Paul. We do have two other callers standing by. Scott from San Diego. Scott, please join us with your thoughts. Scott, are you there? Scott, are you there?
No, he's not on the call.
Okay. Scaredy Cat. Scaredy is here. Scaredy, give us your thoughts.
Hello, gentlemen. Hi, Jim and Jerry. Hello, Giuseppe Scorpio, Bruce from Texas, and Paul from California. Hello, everybody. So this is excellent that finally we are getting back to the harms of 5G, because the quote virus discussion kind of shot everything to smithereens. A couple of years ago, I think it might have been Shropshire was the test city, or Manchester, cities in England. I think they were test cities for the UK to test 5G installation, and actual Englishmen started chopping down the new cell towers. It might just have been one that they had attacked. Ordinary people had noticed suddenly, you know, beautiful old trees all in a line down the street, because tree trunks and fresh leaves and branches will obscure the or block the more frenetic 5G microwaves. Were being cut down as a tragedy, and had noticed all these, because their town was a test city, these 5G cell technology was, transmitters were being installed. So it's very good to hear the hopeful tone of Jerry's voice in saying that the good people are starting to see through propaganda, media propaganda, and actually see the truth of these harmful technologies. However, I think that their tools, that is their robotics, their, more powerful computers and connections, and more money that they have available to pay even good people to work on bad technology, so the bad guys will win even more. They are even more accelerating their power, their increase in power. So I think I had heard Mark Windows a few years ago. He used to have a program in England called Windows on the World, I think. And much more importantly, he used to actually go and maybe even help organize gatherings of actual people to go into actual town councils to fight this. So even though, you know, in the even in this what we call alternative media here, you media gentlemen, you four media gentlemen are discussing it, I would really like to see maybe of the 10 hours you spend or 15 hours you spend on the day doing all this work, preparing all this knowledge for us listeners, maybe start even with 10 minutes if you could to as a separate category to start seeking out and reporting on actual people fighting, because talking is in the end just talking. It's not going to come to peanuts if actual people don't actually act. And just to encourage you gentlemen to actually yourselves, maybe 10, 20 minutes of the day, yourselves to go down and actually connect or maybe become leaders of local movements. In addition to all, I'm putting some more work on your shoulders, in addition to all the research and talk you do, just actually find one person and be a leader of one actual person in your neighborhood. Go ahead.
Ben's doing it for months.
The catch here is what's known as a division of labor. Various of us are better at this or that. I mean, this group here particularly good at research, analysis, and explain what's going on. That's very different than getting out there as an activist, contacting politicians, other leaders, giving speeches. That's a whole different category. I know Scorpio has further thoughts he wants to add here, or suggestions, Scorpio.
Well, I was just kind of curious what specifically she would be talking about. I do agree with your point on division of labor, though, Jim. I mean, you know. But I was just curious what exactly she would be talking about.
Or doing in that 10 minutes. Yeah.
Scarity, want to elaborate?
Well, I mean, the people who actually achieve things, you know, Mahatma Gandhi, he not only talked, but he actually led an actual person, another person in India in order to achieve freedom from the British occupation of his country. Adolf Hitler, he actually became a leader to help the German people against the Jew-occupied English people's harm that was imminent on his country.
Hang on, Scarity. Jerry's responding to you. Go ahead, Jerry.
Thank you. You have to have a certain critical mass of the population before you have any effect. Hitler was elected by a majority of the people in Germany. That is how Hitler got ahead. Somebody convinced more than half the people in Germany that Nazism would be a good idea. What we are doing and these gentlemen are doing here on this broadcast is exactly what we need to be doing. We need to be spreading awareness. We need to be doing research. We need to be increasing our numbers. And to say that media and communication is not a critical aspect of this project, this move forward, this future that we need, would be to ignore the necessity to the message, to have people receive the message, to do enough research so that we know the message is clean and pure and right, and to do that. So don't discount
what she was saying that, though.
People are doing, because this is a critical, fundamental first step in order to generate to exactly what you're talking about, which is where there are enough people to actually make a difference when they do take action. One or two of us can't do it. We have to share information and a lot of it before we all have a good plan.
Scorpio.
So quickly.
I think there's a lot more to the story of Mahatma Gandhi than we've been told. That's for another show, but I think that was a grand production on multiple levels.
I'm glad for you to get another bite, but you must be concise and don't go after charity. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I'm not going to go after her, but I am going to respond to what she said. I think we all kind of got the spirit of what she was saying, but I don't think in any way she was trying to take away from what anybody on this call or in the show, you know, contributes. But, you know, here's the thing. What I've experienced, most people are weak and don't want to be led or are afraid to be led. I can speak only for myself, and I think you guys on this call can have no problem imagining what I'm like when I go out. I tell people to take their mask off all the time. I could provide witnesses that don't really care for it, and it's a little, you know, even sometimes slightly cringy, because I can lash out at people when I see stupidity. I've been in stores where I've told other clerks and managers, take your mask off. I've tried to educate them. So, you know, I do all sorts of things. I'm quite verbal, quite vocal. I do have people that listen. But in the end, people, you know, seem to want to take a vaccine and seem to want to wear a mask. And so, in my opinion, those people can die. And the sooner that they die, the better, as far as I'm concerned, because they'll be out of our way. And that'll be the ones that are left or be the ones that will be defiant. And then we can have a little bit more of a chance at freedom. It sounds like a really hard line to take, but I've come to no other conclusion, because you can't talk people out of their own stupidity. And I think, Jim, you know this as well as others.
Thank you for that addendum, Paul. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, that's an interesting conclusion to reach, Paul. Boy, that's tough. I see what you're saying, but I just don't know if I can actually hope all these people die. But it's out of my hands. They're going to make their own decisions. And, you know, we're going to be in a very different reality here in the next year or two. It's going to be very strange reality that we're going to be living in, I believe.
Scaredy, if you'd like to follow up with a comment or two, then we'll go to Jerry. Scaredy.
Yes, thank you, Jim. So, yeah, and also thank you to Paul from California for underlining that I am not going against what you four gentlemen of the media are saying. So to go with your point about division of labor, this is what you found you do best, and you are exposing the truth, because the majority of the world is just a pile of sand is being thrown at their eyes, and you're just like the one whiff of fresh air that's trying to blow away a grain of sand from a person's eye to see clearly. So just because I brought up another point, which is to actually connect with real people, just even start with one person. I'm just pleading for that, just one advice. Not also in random, of course, what Paul is saying, random people, sales girls you meet at the checkout counter, yeah, give them the science behind, please don't make your face mask.
It's fair to say that all of us probably already do that. I can't imagine.
But I'm saying it in a slightly more organized way. Just one person. In other words, I think I'm pleading for you guys all to take an apprentice, like fearless president, Donald. His funny TV program, The Apprentice.
That's a good idea.
Just try to look for a person you can really trust, and then so the things won't be just lost with you. You yourself, your effort will be so much more magnified. And I know that, you know, for example, the FBI, I think they have 30,000 employees. They have the money. American dollars are paying 30,000 persons who are mostly good guys, but they're doing bad work of covering up the truth.
Paul, thank you for all that. We do have another caller here I want to bring in.
Jim.
Theoretically, of course, we're reaching more than one person by means of these broadcasts. Murr, please join the conversation, Murr.
Oh, hello. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Each of us can only change ourselves. No. And in being cheerful every time we're around people, it helps them change themselves. Whatever that means. You know, like, now people will bring their grandchildren here to see me. They ask to come see me because there is no mention of this nonsense and face diapers or any of it. You know, we're out here in the country and we run like horses and, you know, so, and when I see people, I don't bring that stuff up to them unless it's absolutely necessary. In the library the other day, I was getting a copy made and I asked the lady about reference materials and it was just her and me. And I got tired of seeing that mask, that snot rag sucking blow out of her face, you know. And I said, you know, Evers, that's the name of the governor here, as you well know, Jim, was overruled about mandatory mask wearing. I said, so why are people still requiring it? You know, because the only reason they do it is because they're told to. And the CDC has no authority. It's an agency that sells vaccines, or sells stabbings, I should say, stabbings of poison. So
there's
well,
a large
like you said, the like, men, awesome. That is reaching so many is important.
Inappropriately described as sheeple. Scorpio has further thoughts. Yours, Scorpio.
No, it's great to hear Murr call in. I appreciate her perspective. And, you know, I agree with that. You know, we can't let these people control our minds with this agenda constantly. When we're outside talking with people, man, it's time to just let loose and not be afraid anymore. And I don't care what people think. If I say something they don't like it, it's like water off a duck's back. It doesn't affect me one bit. But good to hear you call in, Murr.
Jerry, you have thoughts you want to add about all the callers. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, you know, on that last point, my comment on that is pick your battles. And you know, the one argument is, we've got to go down and get active and convince everybody. And the other argument is we got to just do what we can, like we say, you know, whatever our division of labor is, whatever our particular skills or resources allow us to do the most effectively. It's really finding a middle ground. I get calls from people who say, oh, I went out and I passed out flyers and nobody cared. You know, they just didn't look at them. They didn't want them. You know, my neighborhood, I'm the only person in my neighborhood who even knows anything about this. Well, that flyer probably made a little difference to somebody somewhere. But I say to these people, don't go out and pass out any more flyers. That was obviously a waste of time. Find out another way to where you can make concrete progress on the issue. And so we have to be a little bit careful about not just going out and doing ridiculous things, standing on a corner holding a sign or passing out flyers to people who don't even know what we're talking about. We have to be strategic and tactical and intelligent about how we share this movement, how we share information with each other. And, you know, it's amazing the ignorance level. I was in an airport going to Rapid City and they had two of these scanning machines that you have to go through for security. I don't go through them. I let them pat me down because I'm not going to go through their microwave ovens for them. And the lady that I said, oh, I need to pat down, I don't go through the thing. She said, oh, no, you can go through that other one. All that does is detect metal. And I said, how do you think it detects metal? And she just looked at me with this blank stare. And I said, it's the same radio frequencies that your other machine uses. Like, don't you know this? And she was so ignorant that she didn't even know. She said, in her mind, she said, well, if somebody comes in and objects to the RF in this machine, I'll just send them through the other machine. That's how ignorant the TSA is. They don't even know what they're doing. After that, I got to the point where I had to tell them, do you know that standing next to this all day will give you cancer? Do you know that? And I would, you know, in terms of to Scaredy Cat's point, you know, of actually doing something, we're out there, we're informing people, we're saying, I'm sorry, you know, and I'm not confrontational about it. I'm not hostile about it. I just say, you're getting cancer. You're standing by this thing all day, every day. I hope you understand that. And that, you know, imagine if you were a TSA employee and somebody came up and told you that, you know, you only have two choices. You have to either think, well, maybe my employer is lying to me. Maybe I'm getting cancer. Maybe radio frequency is bad for me. Or you have to say every air passenger is completely full of bull and I don't have to listen to anything they say. And my employer would never lie to me. So I think you've got some people who are probably going to listen to that because, you know, if it's your own health and your own safety at stake and somebody tells you, hey, your safety is under threat right now, you have to be pretty dumb and ignorant, you know, even more than that lady, to say, well, I'm just going to let this thing cook me and stand by it all day. And I'm never going to question that. So, you know, even if you get a TSA agent to to contact their employer and say, by the way, am I insured against radio frequency injury at all? Could I see that policy? You know, workman's comp, how do we work this out? You know, I may have these symptoms. So, you know, we're planting the seeds. And but the main message, I think, is pick your battles, is do what you can. And in answer to Scaredy Cat is that, yes, these men are doing what they can. And they're spending a lot of time and money to do this and to bring this word out. So to say that they're not doing anything is, I think, very unfair.
Very fine words of wisdom, Giuseppe. We're toward the end. I know you'd like to sum up. It's been sensational having Jerry here today.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. And fantastic. He'll be coming on my show, The Perfect Triangle, in a few weeks. And this Friday, his good friend Alex Newman is our featured guest on The Perfect Triangle. So we're going to continue.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what...